Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2016 Home Education Conference, held in Ellicott City, Maryland.
Hi, we're Shauna Melissa Coombs, and we're teaching a class on strengthening your marriage while homeschooling. And let me tell you, if you want to learn what your marriage is all about and what it's made of, you just teach a class on this together and see what happens. Okay? I have to tell them, we're just going to be really real. So Shauna and I are best friends. We get along so well. We have been married for 25 years, but we are not one of those kind of couples that are just so sweet to each other and so loving.
We love each other to death.
We do. We are the best of friends. But we both are opinionated, and we speak our minds to each other. And there's not really a filter between the two of us. And often when we speak, there's times I'm like, Sean, I don't think that's appropriate. Like, maybe you should have said something else, or you might need to reword that, or what do you mean by that? And we're just ourselves. We don't put on any airs for anybody. So what you see is what you get. But I just have to tell you about this week. Oh, my goodness. This past week, when we were preparing, like, figuring out what we were going to talk about, like, we just had this terrible, I don't even know what the word is. I said, we're speaking together about strengthening our marriage, aren't we? I think I called him a bully one time, and he told me,
I don't remember any of this. And that's part of the problem is my memory is short.
We did. Like, we were like having this little bicker moment, and we just started laughing. I said, we're about to give that talk, aren't we? We knew this would happen. So just laugh about that. It's real life. We're real life.
Well, the one thing I find is anytime anything really important is going to happen, you know, Satan comes out and really works hard to shut you down. Mm-hmm. And one of the feelings we've had over and over again is that for some reason, there's somebody out there that really needs one or two of the little concepts that we have, and that it's mm-hmm. we're speaking to you. I don't know who that is specifically, but we have felt over and over again that this is a talk for an individual in this room.
Well, and we have prayed over what we should say to you. We've prayed over who would be in our class. We've really thought about this and considered what we need to say to you. So hopefully, while we're in this class, you will learn what you came here to learn about.
So the best advice, just start.
He's not a bully, by the way. No. He's not at all. He's a really kind, nice
husband.
Thank
you.
Okay.
It took a week to get that, Albert, but we finally got it. I'm kidding.
Not true.
I'm kidding. So just realize, note number one for yourself is when the world feels like it's about ready to fall apart on you, and there's no reprieve, that's when you need to stand up and smile, because you're doing great things. If it was easy and the world was just like mm-hmm. without any pressure, then you're not doing what you should be doing.
Have you ever read that book by Sherry Dew called If Life Were Easy, It Wouldn't Be Hard? I just think that's, isn't that so true? You need to read that book. That's a great book. I love it.
All right.
And it's awesome. He put two of the ugliest pictures of me up here for y'all to look at in a row. I'm so sorry.
Actually, there's three or four of them.
Just wait. There's one at the end. See, he kind of put this together and then changed a whole bunch of stuff. And then we looked at it briefly again before we came in here. And I was like, what? You put that picture in? And spent the next 5 minutes laughing. So you're just going to see us as we are. It's up to you. We need to have a vision, nurture, and have fun and enjoy each other. Marriage is, it is not always happy. Have you ever realized that? Like, it's not always easy to be married to someone.
Now, hold on. This is an LDS homeschool conference. We can't say that. It's always perfect. There's no problems. Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm a little sarcastic. Sorry.
Oh, mercy.
Go for it.
I just think it's really important to remember what it's all about. That's what I think. I've been thinking a lot about this. If you know your why, if you understand the end, if you know why you're doing everything, then you can deal with all the little stuff in between, right? You have to have that purpose, that understanding, that why.
So first of all, let's go back to the very, very beginning, right? You have to maintain an eternal perspective. And the one thing I will say about our relationship is my wife has a dramatically different way of looking at things and doing things completely opposite from what I do. And conversely, I approach things tremendously different. For example, one of our favorite stories we teach is organizing the schedule for our kids in homeschool.
Did you see that chart that I showed in my last class?
I think that's
it was the most ridiculous thing you have ever seen.
It's like a Mona Lisa. It's awesome. It's absolutely amazing.
I was worried. I was so worried. Like, this is my busiest homeschool year. Shawna, I have 5 children. I just don't know how I'm going to get all their subjects in. I had kids in high school, middle school, and elementary school. And just figuring out how to do it all, I couldn't. Usually I can figure it out, but there was so much involved that year. I was like, I don't know if I could do it. So he sat down and asked me a bunch of questions, and he goes, I'm going to help you get this figured out. I'm like, that would be awesome. And what he produced, I'm so sad we don't have a slide of it. It was the most hideous spreadsheet you have ever seen.
It was beautiful.
And it was like, and then there was this big, huge key on the side. You had to decipher the key before you could figure out what all this even meant. And I looked at it. He goes, "You can do it all. It's right here on the spreadsheet. It will all work."
It was all color coded. I mean,
it was color coded. It was beautiful.
Beautiful.
It was beautiful. But as a schedule for a mom, I just looked at it and went through. And I was like, "Shawna, I'm going to use this forever when I talk at homeschool conferences now."
It was that beautiful. That's all I can say. It was amazing. So when we say we come at things dramatically differently, I mean, one of the struggles I had with homeschooling was my dad was a college professor. My mother was a elementary school teacher. My aunt was a college. She's got her PhD and a college professor. I had another uncle.
That doesn't matter.
As a president.
Your family's in education.
We were all educators, right? We had been taught about education, and I'm an engineer, and everything's structured and laid out and diagrammed. And my brain was thinking that.
He was thinking homeschool should be public school at home, like ring the bell, it's 8:00.
That's a great idea, right?
Okay, so do you dads think that too? Do you have kind of that? Or do you now have the vision of what homeschool really is? There's dads and other people. Yeah, good.
But it took me a while to really truly understand. And that's what I love about coming together is we did come together. And it's because of this one concept here. Is it's the eternal perspective brought into common everyday experiences. And that is super, super important, that if you don't understand the why or the long-range goal, all the short-term stuff makes no sense. And our why was we're trying to build a family. We're trying to teach young kids that math is important, English is amazing, science is exhilarating, but the eternities is really what matters. That's anything?
No, that was, we were trying to take a family picture and they wouldn't behave, and that's what we ended up with. So
that's all her fault. Just kidding. I'm kidding.
I was standing still and y'all were acting up. So. It's really important to build a strong family foundation, but a husband and wife marriage foundation. And that just strengthens your whole family, doesn't it? So you've got to have your foundation. Tell them the story about the temple foundation, Sean.
All right, so anytime that you start off, so you got to have that vision and the goal of where you're going eternally. The number one problem I see in LDS families is when that vision is lost. And so the saints, sometimes, I grew up in St. George, Southern Utah, and this is a group of people that were called to go into a complete wasteland, to be honest with you. And then they were asked to build a temple in the worst place they possibly could in that wasteland, and it was the middle of a swamp. And so a lot of times in marriage, it depends on where you're at. Sometimes you're super happy, and you look like you've got this beautiful, nice plane where you can build a beautiful building with strong bedrock. And other times, you may feel like, oh my gosh, I've got a wasteland I've got to work with, and a swamp I've got to turn into this amazing relationship. And it's not easy. Anybody that says marriage is easy, quite frankly, is lying to you. But it's possible, and we want to just give some ideas of how we have worked through some of those struggles. When they built the temple foundation, I love the story the first thing they did, they made sure they're on a solid foundation. And for us, that's founded on gospel principles. They beat lava rock in the ground into this mucky soil over and over and over again until they had bedrock that they were solid on. And it took a lot of work. There's as much rock below this temple as there is above the ground. And so when you think about a marriage, you see all these happy couples that are having fun, and that may be the ideal, but you got to realize that the majority of what makes a great couple is the hard work that went into building a strong foundation. And ultimately, if you've been to St. George, you'll see it really truly is a diamond in the desert. It's beautiful. You know, the other thing I said is, I love the story of the Provo Tabernacle and the analogy of to a marriage. You know, when we first, that tabernacle was a beautiful edifice. And when we first get married, a lot of times we have that beautiful edifice, but then fire or some other situation comes along, and it could totally destroy what at one point was absolutely beautiful. And if you look at it from a worldly perspective, the world just says, give up, throw that away, get rid of it, tear it down, start anew. And I love the analogy of what they did with this building is they did strip it out. They did get rid of all the junk. They did clear it out. But before they could, they had to have a vision. They had to say, okay, we do want to build this into something beautiful, something eternal. And then once they had the vision, which is so important to have, that's based on prayer, fasting, all those things that brought you to a union in the first place. And then you get that vision and you go to work, right? Stripping away all those things that aren't edifying, that aren't positive, that aren't uplifting. And then begin with what you've got. And the first thing you go to, a little different approach than the old pioneers, but the same start. They started with the foundation. And you may feel propped up. You may feel at certain times you have to have your bishop or your Leafside president or your mom or your dad or a counselor or somebody else or a family of people propping you up in that relationship. But that's okay. Sometimes we're not strong enough to stand without others, and it's okay to realize that you need to be propped up at times. And if you have friends that have struggles, it's okay to say, hey, let us prop you up and help you, but then you got to go to the foundation and start rebuilding. And then once you work, you're going to realize the benefit of that effort. And again, it's no easy effort. It takes a lot of time and energy, but it is so paramount that you catch that vision. Vision is everything to working through a project.
So what are the things that we can do to build that foundation? Something that we have always done, we've always had our couple prayer together. We've always had family prayer. My goodness, don't ever leave those things out. And then, you know, our scripture study, those are important things. I know when Sean was the bishop, he said that never, ever was there a couple that would, when couples would come in with marital problems, he would ask them, are you having your family prayer? Are you praying together? Are you studying the scriptures together? And they couldn't answer yes most of the time. If they were having troubles, they weren't doing those things together. And often he would, and I just know this from the stories you've told me, Sean, often he would have them, like, let's start there. Pray together. I want to tell you about praying together. Oh, it just brings back memories. There was a time when I had my five little children. I had five children in 7.5 years, and I started homeschooling them when my youngest was 6 weeks old. And, you know, those are some hard days, right? Those can be hard. It's just physically exhausting, emotionally exhausting, and you know, you've been there before. And I'm a pretty happy person, and I don't think I've really ever felt depressed in my life. But at this point, actually, I can think of two times that I had felt that way, and this was one of them. And Sean was up getting ready for work early, and I was still in the bed. It was quite early. It was still dark outside. I remember that. And I just thought, I don't want to get up. I don't want to do this today. This is too hard. I just can't do it again. And I wasn't in complete despair. I was just more like, I am exhausted. I am sleep deprived. I just need rest. I need help. And you know that feeling, right? So I just laid there in the bed and I was awake, but I was acting like I was asleep. And Sean came and knelt down beside me on the floor by the bed, and he grabbed my hand and he prayed for me. He said the most beautiful prayer, and I cannot tell you what it did for me. He prayed over every little aspect of my day and asked the Lord to strengthen me and to help me to feel of his love. He just said a lot of things, and I will never forget that. Like, that really bolstered me that day. I was able to get up out of the bed and have a positive attitude and be a good mom that day and really try. So remember to pray for each other. You husbands, your wife needs your tenderness. She needs you to ask the Lord to bless her in your prayers together. She needs to hear you petition Heavenly Father in her behalf. And I know you can do that through blessings and all, but your daily prayers together can make a big difference in how she approaches life, how she approaches that day, how she feels about being a mom. Your support that way can make all the difference. And the same with you wives. Pray for your husbands. They need it. They've got a lot of pressure on their shoulders, a lot of weight that they carry around to be responsible for your family. You know, love them. Give them all that support and be gentle and tender with them. And just remember that's one of the best ways to strengthen your marriage is to involve your Heavenly Father and pray for each other.
So to go along with what she originally said, I never had a couple that was struggling ever come in that knelt down by the bed, held hands, and prayed. And that's what I'd usually encourage them to do. A lot of people are casual in the relationship with the Lord. But if you sincerely kneel down, hold hands, and kind of go to the Lord together, there's a change there. There's a humility and a kindness. And if you're on your own and you have someone who won't kneel with you, then that's where you kneel down and you ask the Lord that hearts will be tender. And you start again on that foundation. You start building that foundation.
We know a lady who, for like 10 years, prayed for her husband, and it took 10 years, but then the miracle finally happened, didn't it?
Yeah.
And it doesn't always, but I'm just saying there's power in prayer. Another thing, another foundation that we have always used is family home evening. Oh my goodness, family home evening. Sean was a stickler towards that. Like, we did it come rain or shine, whether I was pregnant and sick, not well, he would say, come on, Melissa, come do Duck Duck Goose with us. And I've learned to hate that game so much because I played it many times while I was so nauseous and sick and pregnant. He's like, but it's just not family night without you, honey. But that's been a glue for our family. And our kids will tell you that they have lots of good memories. I kept a family home evening journal and would just briefly write down what we did that night. And there's some really fabulous ones, and there's some really like hilarious ones now. I think one of them said the kids were all being rotten. They were exhausted and tired. We put them all to bed, and we had family night with Coley just by himself. So yes. You just never know. There's always going to be changes. But family night is really important. We've been asked to do that, so do that. And then, of course, reading the scriptures. We've read the Book of Mormon to our children since they were babies. And, you know, when they go on their missions, we can say, okay, you've read the Book of Mormon as a family. We've read the Book of Mormon 12 times or 13 times or 14 times, however many it is. And that gives them some kind of confidence, and they know the stories. And I had one child say, Mom, I just don't know if I know all this well enough. And I said, hey, you've read the Book of Mormon personally this many times, and we've read it as a family 15 times or so. Do you believe it? You know, do you know the stories? Anyway, it was just, he was like, wow, I hadn't remembered that. So there's confidence that comes, and there's lots of blessings that have been promised to us if we will read the Book of Mormon as a family. And one of them is that your children will be obedient. So when we've had little moments where our children haven't been obedient, I'm like, wow, glad we're reading the Book of Mormon. It would be worse if they weren't. I don't know what it'd be like.
So just founding your relationship in Christ is really the most important thing. So if things are a kilter, things are stressful, just focus back on the Savior and his love for us. I love this quote. If you want to read that.
The best measure of how strong your relationship is with your wife is the measure of how close your relationship is with the Savior. We had who wrote it, but it's gone. Okay. Or who said that?
All right. So now we catch up with the slides where prayer is really important. But I want to emphasize, prayer, we talk about that. There was a speaker I heard a little while ago, one of the general authorities that came in and said, you need to be praying aloud. Actually, it was the general belief side presence. She said, you need to kneel down and pray aloud and be respectful to the Savior. Have a personal conversation with the Savior.
That was Sister Marriott said that.
She was. Mm-hmm. Pray by yourselves. Pray as a companionship. That's really important. And then pray as a family. I love my kids' comments. They said, we pray all the time. I'm sick of praying. I bet I prayed 5 times today. And every single child can say that same thing over, that, oh my gosh, I prayed 5 times. Well, we do. We pray when we wake up. We pray, well, all the time. We just pray, constant pray. Study. When you read scriptures, I love the fact that we study the scriptures. Now, I am a little bit, I don't like reading a lot. I'm dyslexic. And so I find that reading is not calming and joyful for me. It's work, a lot of hard work. So reading in short bits, study in short bits is a wonderful thing for me. And we have kept, although consistent, we've kept our scripture studies really short, maybe 10, 15 minutes. But as you see over the course of a lifetime, reading the book more than 14 times, we were able to get there. And then one of my favorite is talking. I had counsel together up here, but that's such a bad term in our family that we have changed it to talk with each other.
We don't have family councils anymore. We just have casual conversations where we discuss important things.
Right, that were pre-planned out as parents so we can get to where we need to go.
We gave a whole talk on family councils once in state conference, and I was like, us? You want us to do that for real? Because we have some, like, people cry at our family councils sometimes. But we found out that everybody's, that's like the norm. We thought we were just the only ones. And anyway, it's just funny. But you know what? Sometimes there's things I don't like to talk with him about. Okay, that sounds so bad.
No, it's right, though.
He will drag a simple conversation out into something hideous long and like, oh, it drives me crazy. So if you have that problem, you can just set a timer. Okay, Sean, you got 10 minutes. What you need? What you want to talk about? You want to talk about the budget? 10 minutes. That's it.
That was our favorite topic, the budget. If we wanted to have something to bond and bring us together, it was budget talk. It was awesome.
Somebody suggested that to me, and I thought, okay, that's a brilliant idea. And I suggested it to Sean, and he goes, okay, at least I have your attention for 10 minutes. I'm like, yes, 10 minutes. That's what you get.
But I have learned over the years that you do need to set a time, especially when you're convinced. Conversing about difficult subjects, you don't have to solve the world in an hour or 2 or 3 or 4 hours. You can solve it in a short period of time. And then table it and come back and talk about it again.
Well, I just want to mention, too, I'm not sure if this is where I should mention it, but Sean travels a lot, and he's gone. And when all of our little 5 kids were at home, he would come in the door, and what did they do? Dad! They attack Dad. You don't even get to talk to him for an hour because they're all Dad, 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 Dad. And they're showing him stuff. And I don't know, they're just all so excited. And so we've realized that we needed our time together first. So when he was coming home, he'd get on the phone and we'd have our phone time, our little decompression time. And I could say, hey, Kristen just wrote a poem and she's really excited about it. When she shows it to you, pay attention to it and be excited. So I'd give him a little clue about these things, right? Like, it's really important. Okay, and you need to know that Coley did this and la la la. And we would just have our little moment together and I could clue him in on what's important at home happening so that he could be excited about the proper things. And you know what I mean? Dads need to be able to do that. And they come in and they don't know all the things that have happened that day. So it was such a good time for us. And we got synced up. And then it was just fabulous when he walked in the door and he knew what was going on with the kids and he knew my state of mind. The one time he called me up when he was on a business trip and he's like, Melissa, I'm sitting in a jacuzzi tub in my room looking out at the beach. It's so awesome. I'm like, Sean, this is the worst day I've ever had with the kids. This is not a good time to tell me about this. So our phone conversations are good. We enjoy our... It's good to sync up, though, before he comes home.
So the ancillary side of that is one of the benefits I had as a husband is I didn't even have to ask how she was doing. in those conversations, I knew how she was doing. And so I could adjust my response to her needs without even asking. So yeah, if I could tell she was really stressed, I could come home and I could, you were stressed at times, sweetie. I could go do things that I normally wouldn't do. Yes. Okay. I love this quote. Viktor Frankl, I don't know if any of you know who he is. He was a Jew who was caught in the concentration camps. And it was just, there's a story about Man's Search for Meaning that talks about how he came to realization of who he was. And I love it. It's so appropriate. So many families and so many marriages feel like they're stuck in a concentration camp and that life is really hard. And I figured if a guy who really was there had some advice, that we maybe could apply it to our normal, actually very comfortable lives. And that is, he who has a why to live can bear with almost any how. And I want you to think deeply about that, that we need to know why we're here and what we're trying to accomplish. The how is going to happen. This is another thing I've recently picked up. The whole world mainly focuses on what. What are you doing? What are your kids wear? What am I doing today? What do we got to get going on? They think, okay, how am I going to get all this done? It stresses you out. It's like my wife with that chart I created for her. I've got all this stuff. How am I going to get all this done? But I find if you focus on the why in your life, I'm building a family. I'm creating eternal memories. I'm creating spiritual children that can raise their own family. All of the hows and the whats suddenly quickly align and it becomes realistic to hit that target. You can get it done if you focus on why are you here and why are you doing this. And the things that don't align just kind of fall out of the way.
I think that applies too with homeschooling. Because I loved homeschooling. This is my 16th year homeschooling and I have loved it so very much. But there are times I'm thinking, why on earth am I doing this? And, you know, because it's not for the faint of heart, right? You've got to be one strong woman to be able to, or family, husband and wife or family, to be able to homeschool and to do it well and to do it happily. But I would go back to why I started homeschooling. And when the going got tough, I would think, why am I doing this? Well, the Lord asked me to. Like, he seriously asked me to do it. And I did it kicking and screaming at first, but I decided I would listen. And he had to give me a dream that told me, Melissa, you need to quit fighting this. You need to homeschool your children. It will save your family. And that has run through my head over and over and over again as I was doubting things or worried about things or saying, this, am I doing everything I need to for my children? And anyway, and that's helped us as he says, Melissa, I think the kids need to be working harder, or they need to be doing this. And are they in, differential equations yet or whatever? I'm just like that, you know, he wanted them to be the scholars of the world. And I was like, well, we're still learning to read here. And, you know, sometimes we had different visions of exactly, I had the reality vision and he had the glorious vision of what it all might could possibly be one day. And we were able to always go back to, this is what we're supposed to be doing. We know that the Lord has directed us in this. And so we could go back to that and then work together to move forward in a really positive way, maybe make some tweaks to things that needed to be fixed. But I think that why is really important. Okay,
well,
let's move on.
Yeah, and I'll also say this. For me, that was how I was able to get through all this, is I understood her inspiration and felt the same inspiration, and it just made all the difference. Mm-hmm. It made all the difference. All right, so this is just comedic relief more than anything else.
I love this.
So just understand that nobody in this world is going to see what you do the way you see what you do. And that could be homeschooling. That could be your relationship. You know, relationships are very personal. Your homeschooling experience is very personal.
Okay, what's so funny about this? Okay, It says what our neighbors think we do, sleep all day. What society thinks we do, like walk around like Amish people all day. What public schools think we do, school at home, like public school at home. What I think we do, all these amazing science projects were just amazing. And then what my friends think we do, play all the time. And then what I really do. Do you see that picture? It's a picture of bookshelves with tons and tons of books. And I laughed. I'm like, yeah, that's so right. He goes, I don't get it.
I don't get it.
I don't get it. But do you get it? Yeah. Yeah, see, I told you the moms would get it. I said, moms will get this, Sean. They will get it. He said, I still don't see it. Okay. After I explained it, he's like, I don't understand. So, okay.
It's all good.
Oh, that's because I'm the teacher and you're not, and amen. I know.
Amen to that. All right. So really nurturing, talk about a relationship, nurturing your families. It can be spun so many different ways. But really, part of nurturing is a choice. You got to decide, regardless of where you're at, you're going to be happy, and you're going to have a good time at it.
That's my friend Melinda's little girl in the toilet. She really likes the toilet a lot. She does that often. So.
And I love that she's laughing. So,
she's so
most
happy.
People say, oh my gosh, you're in a toilet. The little girl is just loving it. It's a happy choice she's made, right?
Right, and her mom takes pictures of it.
It's awesome. In South Carolina, she would be taken away, I think. All right, the other thing is, are you looking at the pile of rocks that's around you, the hill you have to climb? Or are you taking time to find the cool things that are in and around the crevices of those rocks? I love to look for hidden beauties in life. I grew up in a desert, as I said earlier. There's not abundance of trees and leaves and wildlife where I grew up. So you had to find the little joys in the nooks and crannies. And I think there's relationships that are like that, that are just because of your environment, it's just really hard, or maybe your financial conditions or your previous upbringing, it's just harder than other lives. But I have never seen a marriage or a family that didn't have some of the most prized gems that they possess. All right. And so as we were discussing this slide, we didn't know if this was a discussion between a homeschooling mom and her mad teenager, or if this was a husband-wife discussion. You can apply whatever you want, but it's a picture of David facing Goliath. And the way I boiled that down to is, when it comes to marriage, that your companionship is like David in that picture. David had tools that he had developed, very unique tools, and then together with his sling, his stones, he was able to overcome major obstacles. And he realized that he wasn't a weak, small person, but he was amazing.
And when I looked at it, I thought, you know, in the strength of the Lord, we can do all things. That's what I thought when I saw that.
All right. Is this me? She doesn't like this slide.
I don't like that word in the middle, the word hate.
So you got to read it.
It says, how to get along. Hate plus service equals love. So this is my daughter, Kristen, that you see. When she went away to college, she met her roommate that she didn't know. And at first, they just were prickly towards each other. They didn't really like each other. They just had a bad first impression somehow, which I can't even imagine how or why, because they're both of them are the most delightful.
Best of friends.
Well, now they're the best of friends. But they were both delightful young women. And Kristen decided, she said, I'm just going to serve her. So Kristen would make her bed and tidy something up, leave her a little note, and just kept doing little things for her. Well, then Elsie started doing that to Kristen, and it didn't take long for them to melt away whatever that wall was between them. It just melted away, and they became the best of friends, and they still are, 4 years later, the best of friends. And they laugh about those first couple of weeks when they were not liking each other so much. And I think that's really important in marriage. We're going to get on each other's nerves. We're going to have difficult, rough moments. But when you're feeling that way, serve your spouse, serve your husband, serve your wife. Do little things for each other. We get so busy and wrapped up as moms with the kids or with our callings and things that we're doing, and dads too with work. And sometimes we forget to make that connection with each other and do special little things. And doesn't it make you feel good when your husband does some little sweet thing? It doesn't have to be anything great, just that he's acknowledged, so let me help you with that, or let me do that for you. Or it's such a relief to have that support, and, you know, to think, he's like, let me go get you some lunch. He said that to me today, and I was like, thank you. I really appreciate that, because I couldn't leave my vendor table, and I just thought, that was really nice. How wonderful it is to have a partner to just do little things to help me sometimes. So those little services can mend and heal a lot of feelings. So remember to do that.
And so when you have a wall or a situation where you feel it's completely insurmountable, this is how you erase hate. And I don't love the word hate, but it tells how difficult life can be sometimes. You may have a situation an individual that you just don't have the best feelings for, but service completely eliminates that. It eradicates it and converts it to love. All right, this is one of my favorite little quotes, and I use it as a barometer for myself when I'm having discussions, whether at work, whether with my wife or my kids, and it's Galatians. If I'm not feeling the fruits of the Spirit, which is in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, I know that I'm not right. And that's an important thing for me, is when you're discussing things, that you have to know that you're right in the conversation. It may not be that what you're saying is right, but mentally and emotionally and spiritually, you're having the right kind of conversation. And it says, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And as you're conversing and working through difficult situations, if you're not feeling these things, then go back to number one, and that's go pray, ask for these feelings, and then continue on. I love the conversation about the brother of Jared as well. As they were looking to cross this great water, the first thing they did was they cleaned out their vessels, they prepared themselves with good things, and then they moved forward. And they literally did impossible things through prayer, fasting, and then getting to work. I love that story. All right, you got this one.
Repent and forgive quickly. Huh, that's a good one. And I don't know if you can see this picture, but this is Kristen with a monobrow drawn on her face.
She was asleep when it was drawn.
Right, and there's Laura, the person who did it. And Kristen woke up and she was a little bit mad at first, but anyway, he just put this little picture there. But I want to tell you a story. This is one of those stories I'm almost embarrassed to tell about myself, but it's real. It's just a real life story. So we had just moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, and I had, I had three small children. It was summertime, and a lot of people in our ward were on vacations and gone. I didn't have any friends yet. I didn't realize how important friends were to me. Friends are important. Women need friends, right? We need people to talk to and share things with. And we had moved into this little house that really I didn't like it very much. It was a great investment for us, but it was just a small little fixer-upper home. And it never felt like home to me, I have to be honest. And I think that's that time I was talking about where I actually think I was depressed. I actually had some... I was really sad. I just didn't have the joy in my life or something. And Sean was working a lot, and I had put the kids down for bed. Sean wasn't home yet, and I was washing the dishes, and I apparently was in not a good way. I just mentally was not in a good place or spiritually. And I was washing the dishes, and Sean walked in the door. And I think he said, "Hi, honey, how are you?" But he stopped right dead in his tracks right there because I turned around, and I proceeded to tell him that I hated him, I hated his family. And note, I have never talked to him like this ever, ever. I was like washing the dishes really fast and putting them over here and washing them. I never stopped washing the dishes. That I told him how I hated him, I hated his family, I hated Charlotte, I hated the house we lived in. I everything I could possibly think of to dislike, that's what I told him. And I remember him standing right there at the door of the kitchen, and when I couldn't think of anything else mean to say, I just sat there quiet, and I thought, oh boy, I've just been really, really ugly. I've never talked like that to him before. I don't know what he's going to do. Is he going to yell back at me? Is he going to walk away? I don't know what's going to happen. And then I just kind of waited, and he walked over to me, and he gave me a great big hug, and he says, "Melissa, what can I do to help you right now?" I was like, I'm such a bad wife. I'm so bad. I don't hate you, and I don't hate your family, and I don't hate everything, I promise. I just don't have any friends, and I think I'm really sad, and I don't feel like I'm at home yet, and I feel out of place. And then the real thing came out, right? It had nothing to do with Sean at all. But I'm so thankful for him knowing me well enough to just be okay that I was having my little moment, which he had never seen me have one like that before. And he knew, don't make a face. I don't know what he's doing behind my back. I knew that I'm just so thankful he knew me better than that. And he knew that something was just up, and he put his arms around me and said, "What can I do to help you?" And that could have been a horrible night, right? It could have been really, really bad. But he chose to love me and to instantly forgive. He didn't even worry about what I had said. That's not me. He knew I didn't mean it. And he chose to assume that it was just something else. And so I'm really thankful for that. I've never forgotten that, Sean. That was a good moment for you.
That was good. I've had three of those in my whole life, so that's good that she remembers that one.
He's good.
And we all have moments where we live below ourselves. It's just a part of life. But I go back to that choice. Choose to be happy. Make the decision that if somebody berates you, just attacks you verbally, that you can come back and just say, hey, I'm going to find the good. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to make this a positive situation. I'm going to serve them. There's a problem and we need to fix it. But I love this. If there's a problem, repent and move on quickly. The other one, this is a picture of our family. I threw it up there just with so many voices in the room. Sometimes it's hard just to listen. Be willing to express your feelings in a family and in a relationship. I love that Melissa is not restrained in her emotions or her feelings. That is a very good thing. The opposite is where you have a spouse that never talks to you. You don't know what they're thinking if they're not vocal. At least we can fix what we know.
I remember when we were first married, it was hard for me to express my feelings. Like if I needed to talk to you about something, I just didn't know how to say it to him. And so I learned to just hold his hand.
That's a good thing.
If I touched him, then I could just talk calmly about whatever was bothering me. And it just felt more comfortable to just hold his hands. Then it just calmed every feeling and emotion. And then we were able to discuss things just happier and sweeter and nicer.
So, and again, two and one, you got two ears, obviously one mouth. Listen a lot, and that's mainly for the men. Just listen. It's a good thing to listen.
Women sometimes need to express our feelings a little more than you want to hear, but just do it. Can you believe this? This is the picture I'm talking about. Like, why did you put those pictures up there? Right. So this is a picture of us when we were first married. We didn't even have any children yet. And then this picture was just a few weeks ago, and we thought it was the worst picture we'd ever seen of ourselves. And he put it in this slideshow. Like, what the heck? But you can see it says, love who you are. Remember why you married each other. You know, we just need to.
That's
right.
It.
That doesn't matter. Look, your good looks might fade. Your cute little short, you know, skinny little self might get a little bigger. And I don't know. There's a lot of things. All that changes. But you just kind of love each other and remember why. I know I've been reminded of this several times. I heard a lady that her husband was my bishop when I was a little girl. And I heard her tell my mom once, I had to learn to love my husband again. And I'm like, what? Because they seem to have the most amazing relationship. But I heard her say that to my mom when I was probably like 12 years old. And I thought about that many times over my life so far, you know. I thought about that. And wow, she had to learn to love her husband again. But I think you understand, like, they had a good relationship. There was nothing bad or wrong in it. But they weren't connecting like they needed to. And so I think that's important. To connect. My patriarchal blessing tells me, I bless you to love your husband. And when I read that when I was a teenager, I was like, well, duh, I'm going to love my husband. You know, I'm of course going to love my husband. But now I look at it with different eyes. You know, I remember one time reading it and I read over that. I was like, you know, my husband's a bishop. There's a lot of weight on him right now. His work is really stressful. He needs me just to love him. What can I do to just love him and serve him and really be a support to him? And it made me think about that, you know, so just love each other.
And from my perspective, she needed a blessing to love me because I am dorky sometimes. It was really true. But from a worldly perspective, y'all, the world has this perfect vision of what a couple should be like. They have, you know, when you're first newlyweds, you certainly loved your husband, or there is some reason you got married, right? Remember those things. But
yeah, why did you fall in love with each other? Go back and have you ever told your kids why you fell in love or how you fell in love with each other? Have you ever told anybody that? Do that. Like, speak it out loud, because it brings back a lot of those feelings and thoughts and emotions.
But also, be kind to yourself. And this may sound silly, but I have never had a belly that would stick out even at all, right? And that picture drives me nuts. Compared to some, they say, oh my gosh, you're stinking skinny, but that's not the point.
That picture really upset him when he saw it.
For me personally, that is a bad picture. However, look at how Heavenly Father looks at you. You know, as I look out over this audience, I don't see people that are anything other than amazing, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. Be kind to yourself. Remember who you are. Be kind to your spouse. Remember who he is or she is. It is so important to get that eternal perspective. We are sons and daughters of God, trying to make it back to be with him, and this life is a temporary state. Mm-hmm. That's it. Just remember, this life is temporary. So just have fun. It should be like a roller coaster ride. You're going to go up and you're going to go down. You can either have white knuckles and be screaming in fear, or you can raise your hands and laugh and have a great time. You're still going to go through life, and it'll either happy or it'll be sad. All right, and then I love this. Grace changes everything. Remember the Savior in your life. Remember that what he did. He's going to forgive us if we want that forgiveness.
And he makes up for the difference. We do the best we can, and then he makes up the difference for us.
Yeah. And so just be tender and kind. So now the fun part.
We'll finish up with this.
Yep, we got a few minutes. And so this is kind of the fun part, dating and having fun. So I love this picture of a tree. A great tree grows to be what it is, like a great marriage, because of the nutrients that are funneled into it. Dating is like the nutrients. You get the water pulled in and the vitamin stuff, but dating for a marriage, honestly, is what's going to allow you to grow and be strong.
And that's a challenge. Do you think dating your spouse is challenging? Because who on earth is going to watch your five little children? First of all, you can't afford it. And then who can actually take care of them? My own mother couldn't. I mean, I didn't always want to give her my five little children or ask her to help me because it was a lot. I mean, that's a lot of little people to watch after. And so that, we always found it slightly challenging. But we found lots of fun, cheap, inexpensive ways to just have fun together. And we want to share just a few of those with you.
All right, so we're going to skip some of these quotes. You'll have to look those later, but let's go through the fun dating ideas. And this is, like, super important. Dating does not have to be complicated. A date does not have to be a whole day or even a couple hours. Some of our favorite dates, and this may sound silly, literally constituted jumping in a car and driving to Walmart to go buy bread for the next day. It was awesome, right?
Well, I said, hey, Sean, I need to go pick up my prescription from Walgreens. Do you want to come with me? And he's like, yeah. And so we jumped in the car together. We held hands. We had this fun conversation along the way. And it was just, I actually was sick and not feeling so well. And it was really fun just to have that moment with him. So we're just saying that any time that we get together, we call it a date. Like, this is a date. This is awesome. Go ahead.
No, go. That's good.
So the other day, we just wanted to spend some time together, and I said, hey, meet me in the backyard, and we'll go feed the chickens together. And that's so stupid, but it was so joyful for us. We really enjoyed our time working together, just feeding our chickens and hanging out in the backyard, and it was beautiful outside. We go on walks together. You just want to go over some of these?
Yeah, but my definition of a date, as I'm thinking about it, it's just time with your spouse where the two of you are coming together. Mm-hmm. That's it. It's time with your spouse, mm-hmm. and you have to make that time. I'm crazy busy with work. She's crazy busy with all that she does, and making that priority and that time is just so important.
Well, and it's fun sometimes to have formal dates and invite other people to join you. We've had times where we've invited some fun couples that we enjoyed over to our house and said, everybody, just like, we're going to have a Mexican potluck and we're going to play some board games. Those are some of our most fun dates we've ever had. It wasn't expensive. And sometimes we had all the children upstairs, playing, and we were there with them. Sometimes it's really nice to find babysitters and leave them, but that's not always a possibility or realistic for what you have going on. And so just make it work, but make sure you're spending that time together. Anything.
So there's some other simple ideas. You can build a fire and cook something. That may sound silly, but guys like to build fires. Ladies, it's awesome. That's a great thing. Go on a treasure hunt. You say, what the heck is that all about? Take $5 and go to a swap meet or
thrift store
and try to find a treasure. Do something cheap. But get out and do something fun. Take a class together. I don't know if there's community classes around. If you're developing and you want to do something that you've not done before, that would be awesome.
He wants to take a dance class.
That would be awesome. Or a singing class. I need the help. Go on a walk together. Just hold hands. Some of my personal favorite dates is where we just go on a walk in our subdivision and hold hands and talk. My favorite is go to bed early. because we're sleeping. Just kidding.
Hey, let me tell you. Did you know? I'm just going to ignore that. Did you know that one of the most fun things you can do is sit with your spouse and Google like 101 cheap dates or something. You will come up with the most fun things. We were reading one and it said, have a karaoke night together. We started laughing, just envisioning our own selves doing that, didn't we?
It would be awesome, yep.
I was like, we have to do that now because that looks like so much fun. Oh, I was going to say one more thing, though.
Far away.
It's so fun to plan things. Do you plan things? Do you look forward to something? We were going to go on, we have never gone camping by ourselves since we've had children. That has never happened. We love camping and hiking. And I said, Sean, we have time. Let's go this weekend. Let's go on a camp out together, a little backpacking trip. So we planned it and had so much fun just thinking about it. We ended up not being able to go. But just the fun we had talking about it, thinking about it, planning it, and we're still going to do that. But have things to look forward to. That's a really fun part of your relationship.
I also like the idea of taking turns, choosing what to do, right? Perfect. It doesn't always... it's just not always fun if one person is the motivator of all the dates. So what we did at one point in our lives is we just said, okay, this is when we're going to do it. Everybody says Friday night is the best night. That's not always the best for our family. So we grab time when we can, and then we just alternate back and forth at times. So, and we're going to end up with kind of where we started, really. You got to know the why behind what you're doing in a marriage. You got to know why you're here on earth, why you want to put up with a spouse, or why is it worth their time to put up with you. And it's because we're building eternal families. We're giving an example to our children that hopefully that they will follow. Melissa and I are not perfect. I mean, I promise you, we tease about our conversations. We're very energetic in our discussions. I tease and call it saber rattling, right? You hear all this noise. But the one thing I will say is that we are unified in our eternal direction. We don't always come at things the same way. We always have differing opinions, not always, but frequently we have differing opinions. But once a decision is made, we're able to come together. We forgive each other quickly. And then we move forward with those decisions.
Well, and we want the same thing.
We do.
We have the same goals, the same perspective on where we want to be, but getting there is the way we just do it this way.
Yeah, it's through prayer and through inspiration. And invite the Holy Ghost into your marriage. There's nothing better than having the Holy Ghost in a part of everything you do, whether it's a date, whether it's praying for your spouse, or whether it's deciding how you're going to homeschool.
Okay, I can't remember. Who did we hear this from? Just two quick little last pieces of advice. We were told to always touch each other when we leave, and like when we see each other and when we leave from each other. Always give each other like a quick touch, a hug, a kiss, or something. But I have a friend who says, forget the 2-second kiss. Go for the 30-second kiss every time. And I'm like, what? That would be terrible. You know?
What the heck?
I'm thinking our poor kids would go running. Oh, like they would just flee the room.
Did you see how smoothly she came out with that one? Oh, smooth.
No, I think it's a great idea, but I started to envision that because we're always around the kids. They would freak out, but what a fun idea, though, right? Sometimes forget the 2-second kiss and go for the 30-second kiss.
There you go. Thank you. Time's up. We don't have 30 seconds. We got to close.
Oh, but just remember to have fun with each other and love each other and remember why you fell in love with each other and, you know, keep working and build those strong relationships. It's worth it.
And when you feel the pressure, what do you know? Okay. That you're doing something right, that you're going in the right direction. When the world feels like it's piling up on you, it's because you're doing amazing things.
Well, President Irene said something, when you're on the right path, it's always uphill. So that's what
Amen.
He said.
And we just appreciate that. Yeah.
And we say that in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.